What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I got George here. George, I'm not going to try. How do you say your last name, brother?
Eleftheriou.
You heard it here first. So here with George. we're here doing a business breakthrough, man. You know, George and I have crossed paths a few times. My friend, you called the meeting, man. Tell me about this business you got. I noticed that the business is Georgie's Handyman Service. It looks like you're heading toward painting. So what's been going on? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I started up about 4 years ago. My uncle, he told me to quit my job and work for him, and I did, and he had a handyman business, so I started working with him, and it wasn't but a month later I started up my own handyman business, but the problem was I wasn't very handy, so but I picked up painting really well, and so I kind of rolled with that name for a few years and just did painting work, and then I actually did rebrand, so we're known as Georgie's Painting now. And my website's redone and everything. I'm still, nice. I got to get the new gear and everything, but we're painting business now and yeah, looking to grow it.
Cool. So is it just you by yourself?
Yeah.
Cool. What are some challenges right now you're dealing with in the business?
I mean, at this point, so I'm used to being a one-man show. I've been watching you, been watching things online, and I've been trying to learn how to actually run a business and not just have a job.
Yeah.
So it's all new to me. But right now I'm trying to learn my numbers a bit better. And then I'd say the biggest thing is fulfillment. So I you know, took on a marketing company and to try to keep the leads coming in. And now I'm trying to figure out how do I fulfill on all this work? Do I do the 1099 method? Do I run a hybrid model? And just trying to kind of go through that with spring, obviously. Being here right now, I'm trying to figure it out. So,
yeah. Is it? I asked this already. Is it just you working by yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
So, so we know. I mean, you know this. I don't want to waste time helping you understand this, but you need to hire. You need some help. Let's go through some foundational things that you're going to need to do hiring, and then we'll discuss what you. I just need to understand the gap. So, when it comes to hiring. Do you have a payroll company set up in your business to where you can onboard someone and taxes are paid appropriately?
So I was going to do either Gusto or like ADP. I'm not on it yet, but I was going to try to get on one of those softwares, and do it that way.
All right. So here's the deal. And I just want to help you from the perspective of what's going to be required of you in order to achieve what you want to achieve in this business. Okay. There's a difference between I'm going to try and I'm doing it. And that's with so many different areas of your business, brother. I mean, this is before you even get into the amusement park. This needs to be something, hey, I need to hire. So there's something that stopped you from doing that. And if we can figure out what that is, George, then we can identify this. I'm not going to be disrespectful, but it is a trait that we need to iron out of your personality of, hey, in other words, you didn't rank it in terms of importance, right? Because here's the deal. Hiring frees you. The goal of your business is freedom. Yes. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be in business. You have this hope that one day you build something you could be independent of, and it generates you income. Is that true?
Correct. Yeah.
That's why we're all here, bro. But the thing is that there's some things that we need to take care of along the way. Gusto is a precursor to the thing that frees you, which is the hiring. So we need to make sure we get that out of the way. Now, I want to know, why haven't you set this up yet?
Probably just fear, man.
Fear. So the unknown is fear, right? So, and I use this example all the time. I knew that was going to be the answer. It's the fear of getting on there. It's the fear of what you're giving up, right? You're going to probably have to pay for a subscription. You're going to have to probably pay for, you might make a mistake, which could cost you money, right? It's the accountability of employees and will I have enough work, right? I know every fear that you're probably thinking right now. Two things. You're talking to someone who's already been through it, which is good news because you're not the first person to sail to America, right? That's fear. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these people are already on the other side saying, George, come on over, brother. We're here, man. You just got to do your own. You got to travel your own journey, but we're here, man. It's good on the other side. You know that for a fact, right? Cool. You're already ahead of the game. You already have a marketing agency, right? So you have leads coming in every day, don't you?
Yeah. So I just did that. I just started that up. Yeah.
Good news. So really the fear is the unknown, which when you quit your job to go work for your uncle, was that scary?
I'll be honest with you, no.
Because your other job didn't have much value, right?
Yeah, I've never been good at. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I didn't like the job, you know.
Didn't like the job, so it wasn't that much.
I'm 24. I don't have any, you know, responsibilities other than myself. No.
Okay. So when you went into your own business, when you left your uncle, was that a little scary?
Yeah, it was a little nerve wracking. Yeah.
Okay. So what you should be doing without any other human responsibilities, which is some of the greatest responsibilities you can have, is you should be looking for risk. Because even if you go broke, even if you go in debt, the worst thing that happens is that you don't have enough food to feed yourself, which won't happen. You know, both know that, right? Mm-hmm. So you should be looking for risk, bro. You should be willing to take risks. And mm-hmm. I think you are in a certain direction, but when it comes to something like setting up Gusto, again, that just needs to be something that you discipline yourself. Like, dude, I don't know how to do this, but I'm sure I'll figure it out. And I have a network of people that'll probably help me if I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's gotta be number one. And I'll tell you why, because we just don't want to hire anybody, bro. I'm sure you can skip the step of Gusto, can't you?
I mean, I think it'd definitely be helpful though to have it. Yeah. I think it's probably helpful.
I'm wondering, in your words, why you feel like that would be helpful.
So that way, because the payroll is a whole nother thing. And right. I don't know how to do none of that.
Right.
So that'll take care of it for me. And
so back in the day, you used to have someone that used to come into your business and run payroll for you. Back in the day, dude, they would come in, they look at the hours, they calculate on those big calculators, dude, that thing be chopping, you know, how much you owe to the county, the state, the federal, bro. Now, all you got to do is spend a few hours setting the thing up. You don't even have any employees yet, so you don't really have to spend that much time. And Gusto will take it out of your bank account and send it where it needs to go. It's amazing. Yeah. We live in such a time, bro. We live in such a time. So what I challenge you to do before you do anything is you need to identify the things that you know you need to do and freaking do them.
Mm.
I'm just being honest with you, because this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, bro. If you want a $1 million business, you can't be the type of person that lets things go off the back burner, bro. It needs to be take care of it now. Take care of it now. Because, and there's some $1 million plus producers probably listening to this. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is me. If I don't do it now or within a reasonable amount of time, tomorrow's stuff is going to pile up and then it just gets buried. And right now, a lot of your time, bro, is devoted to the job, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we don't have time to waste. So I'll tell you what, man, I need you to get on Gusto ASAP. Let's talk about hiring. Tell me your hiring strategy.
So right now I've, like I said earlier, I've been trying to like figure out, do I get a W-2 employee?
Okay. Or there's that word again. I got to stop you, George. Look, you might hate me after this, but I'm going to give you what you need.
Man, I couldn't hate you.
I want you to win.
I couldn't hate you.
Stop saying trying.
Okay.
You're not trying. You're thinking. Okay. You need to be doing. Right. And here's the thing. You will never know which one's better until you actually do it.
Yeah.
So you can war game it. You can say, well, I'm going to try. Brother, get the freaking ad out and get some applicants in and start doing some interviews. Still no commitment there. Is that true?
Yeah.
Then you'll have a way better idea if it's worth it. Because here's the thing. The person dictates the move. Is that true?
So, Tanner, so you're saying on Gusto, I can that's how I'll handle all the payroll. But you're saying like, as far as bringing on people, start making posts on Indeed. And
you need to get an ad out on Indeed as soon as humanly possible, maybe even today. Get an ad out about, and if you don't, hey, maybe you're not a good writer, and that's okay. I don't know what your skill, do you like to write? Are you a writer?
I'll probably see what other companies are putting up there. And
then don't do that. Use AI, man. Check out, have you played around with ChatGPT yet?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah.
Bro, use it, right? So put in this ad. Hey, my name's George with George's Painting Company. I'm looking for an all-star house painter that wants to work for high-end residential homes. We're a growing, scaling company. If you were looking for a job, what would inspire you, right? Because generally speaking, we wind up hiring people that have similar traits and values to us, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to make sure in that ad, bro, I can't tell you how important that ad is. That's what we want to have in there. The thing is, bro, is that you have a lot to learn, all right, when it comes to scaling this business. There's so many avenues right now for you as an individual that you need to focus on. Administrative, right? We just talked about Gusto, didn't we? That's an administrative avenue that you're going to learn. You're going to go through the process, signing up with the account. You're going to go through the process of hitting a roadblock of, hey, man, I don't know if I have this EIN number, or I don't have this. I got to go through this. I got to get on an onboarding call with these people. The mentality needs to be, I'm going to knock down the wall and then I'll pick up the pieces, right? And then I'll figure it out and I'll be better the next time. That has to happen with so many things up until you hit $1 million, that when you get to $1 million, you can freaking keep it. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's what you become. So the second thing is, administrative wise, is getting the ad out. The ad is just going to help you identify, these are skills that you need to learn, what not to look for, right? Or what to look for and who not to hire. Right.
Right.
Because
right.
You're going to get, you're going to get 50 to 80 applicants if you do it right on Indeed. Okay. These are 50 to 80 people that want to paint. Mm-hmm. Now, out of those 50 or 80 people, what's going to happen is you're going to get overwhelmed because you're not going to know who to approach. I don't know about you, but I couldn't sit in front of 50 or 80 people and do an interview. Right. That would drive me nuts. You probably don't have time for that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're in the middle here. We have to get an employee and we're really busy and we can't hire a bad employee because that's one of our fears, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
They could what? They could hurt the what?
Well, my reputation and, you
quality.
Know. Quality.
And then guess what? You don't have a lot of luxury to be training three people throughout the month, do you?
No.
Okay.
No. So no, I'd really like someone who's experienced. Solid. Yeah.
Right?
Solid. Yeah.
My suggestion to you is build a team of three employees. That would be my suggestion. I don't think you're a sub guy. I'm just getting that vibe. I think you're a quality guy. Okay? Generally speaking, quality guys like employees. There's a little more control. There's a little more customer interaction. I'm a quality guy. I'm not saying you can't achieve quality with subs. I'm saying that those relationships take a little while to build. And you might not have the workflow to keep a sub loyal to you right now.
Right.
True?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
Yeah. So let's set a goal of a team of three. You're on that team, by the way, for the first maybe 2 months.
Okay.
You're the crew leader. You're occupying a role in the business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're just occupying a role. Assign a number to that role, George, of what it is for you. If you were leading a team of three on these jobs, how much would you get paid an hour? You're not the owner. You're just an employee. What would you pay?
I would think 25 to 30 an hour.
$25 an hour is the crew leader role in your business. Let's start there. Okay. So then you have the second guy out of the three, right? So what I would do, you're taking notes, draw three circles. And then that first circle, put a G above it. That's you. Okay. And that's temporary. The second guy, he's your right hand man, right? This is the guy we're going to hire now. Okay. Right. And we're going to say that he needs to have X amount of skill sets in order to be this person. But guess what? We're not going to waste the opportunity to get what I call a 2-for-1 deal. You know what that is?
Hire a helper in.
I would say a step further would be hire someone that's adequate at the job, but also could take your position as the crew leader. Right. So when you're hiring, you have to know what you're looking for. It's like dating, right? Same thing. You want to know what you're looking for. I'm looking for in this role, if I were consulting you and me and you were working together, I'd say, George, here's what you need to do. You need to get somebody that knows how to paint. That's got to be number one. We can't hire someone with no skills at this role because the end goal is what we want to work back from. And the end goal is to free George. So George can go out and recruit and he can do estimates and he can oversee quality and production.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we need to get someone with the mindset that they're going to replace you. And what are we looking for? We're looking for a people person. We're looking for someone that knows that the end goal is for them to run the job. And the end goal for them is to be the person that communicates with customers. So how do we do that? We frame our questions in the hiring process to align with what the end goal is. Do you like communicating with customers?
Right.
And guess what you'll get? I prefer to work new construction. I can't deal with customers.
Yeah.
Well, that might be too straightforward of a question. So how do we phrase it in a way that gets the answer that we want? You have a customer that's really upset about a color and they're kind of frustrated and they want the job stopped. How do you handle that? Guess what you'll get? You'll get the exact answer that will tell you whether or not that's somebody that can lead a job.
Right.
You see how you work backwards in the hiring process to get to your goal? It's all about filtering people out to be able to sit in front of someone if they get to you. That ultimately is that person. So it's, it, you know, so what we want to do is we want to identify what we're going to pay that person. So that's your two man, right? So what are you going to pay that person?
The lead painter or the helper?
Right now they're in, they're, let's say they're, I don't know. You like football?
Not really.
Not really sports. You ever follow any type of sports?
Basketball.
Basketball. So if the head coach gets fired, who do you bring up? That's the interim.
The assistant coach.
He's the interim. He's the head coach in training. This is what we're looking for. Is we're trying to find somebody that could take the role of you as the head coach, right? Okay. So they're an interim. So that's your interim guy. So if you're at 25 as the lead, guess what the interim gets? Probably 22 to start. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And then last, we have a helper. This is our guy. He's going to be prepping. He's going to be learning. He's going to be learning the trade. He's going to be bringing energy to the team, going to get coffee in the morning, right? He's going to be the, you know, he's going to be running, cleaning the sprayer, uh-huh. right? Doing all the little things on the job to make sure that it runs smoothly and efficiency. Let me tell you something. That person is going to get $17 an hour to start, but he might turn into someone loyal, someone like you who wanted to get into the trade that wants to make a good living. Okay. Now here's mm-hmm. the deal. When you're in a growth phase, you need to understand, George, there's two phases in business, wartime and peacetime, okay? There's wartime and peacetime. There's never been a situation in my entire 8 years of doing this where there wasn't one or the other. You've mm-hmm. got to learn what's wartime and what's peacetime. And when there's wartime, expenses go up. Is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Expenses go up. So you need to identify right now in this phase of hiring these individuals, we're in wartime.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, yeah.
We got expenses are going to go up, and I got to be okay with that because this is an investment, right? Because mm-hmm. if we can optimize a crew of three, on average, each painter should be able to generate between $80,000 and $100,000 worth of revenue on average.
Each.
That's produced revenue. Now do the math for me. If each painter generates on the low end $80,000 worth of revenue and you are not painting, so it's three individuals, how much money is that on a yearly basis produced?
Well, I need my calculator, but I'm
8 times 3 is what?
8 16 24.
That's right. So that's $240,000 a year of revenue if you get three people operating at full speed, full capacity. Okay?
Okay.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Heck
so
yeah.
out of that $240,000, we got to get George some money, right?
Sure.
So we need to identify, generally speaking, we're going to be at about a 30 to 35% labor margin. So I will get the calculator here because I always try to do math on the fly. It never works out for me.
30 to 35% labor.
Right. So we want to see what 35% of 240 is. And that's going to be $84,000. That's how much you're going to wind up paying for these guys. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So you need to already say, hey, I'm willing to invest $84,000.
Yeah,
so
I am.
To get back, how much? $240,000. That's a low end. So if I said, hey, George, give me $84,000, I'll give you $240,000. Is that a good deal?
Of course.
Perfect, because you're a middleman.
Yeah.
You're finessing, right? You're taking supply and you're introducing it to demand. But right now, you're the supply. And guess what else you are?
All of it.
All of it.
Everything. Everything, man.
You take the restaurant owner who makes the pizzas and takes the orders and answers the phone, sits the customers, brings the drinks, pizzas are burning, customers are leaving,
yeah.
drinks are empty.
Yeah.
Okay. How much longer?
Yeah.
These happen now. We're in wartime. So generally speaking, you're at about 20% materials off of that number. 240,000. 20%. That's 48 grand, George.
Okay.
Okay. Let's add our two numbers together. We got 48. We got 84. It's 100. It's still a lot less than what we sold, isn't it?
Yep.
All right. So generally speaking, on average, you're going to spend about $3,000 a month on marketing. So you got 3 times 12. That's 24,000. That's 36K. All right. So let's add up our costs right now. 48, 36, 84, 48, 36, 84. That's 100. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We sold 240. Our cost right now with marketing, labor, and materials is 100. That leaves us with $72,000. We're reinvesting money back into marketing, which is great. Okay. Mm-hmm. 72K. Would you be okay with a $72,000 salary for your first year in business without doing any painting?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd be good with that?
Hell yeah.
All right. So we know the end goal.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at all these expenses and going through the motions of whether or not you should get Gusto or not, and whether or not you should put out an ad or not, and whether or not you should go W-2 or sub or not, and you look at the model, okay? Amazon did a model. This is how businesses work. They model outcomes. Amazon did a model on whether or not Amazon Prime would work, okay? I think we know what happened, right? Amazon Prime is put them on the map, dude. Free shipping, okay? But they modeled it. They modeled worst case scenario and they modeled best case scenario. Just so you know, we're modeling worst case scenario at each painter generating $80,000 worth of revenue. On average, it's 100K if you know how to run a business and you're optimized and you're selling the right amount of money.
Okay.
Okay. You of course have other expenses. I'm not going to get too granular on that, but does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Yeah. I like how you kind of broke it down. Believe me, I spent hours doing it and it never, I struggle sometimes to make sense of the numbers. But I like how you broke that down and yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Good. Good. But again, we can't get there until we take action on Gusto, because here's the deal. We need quality people. And quality people are not going to want to work for cash. They don't want to check. And they don't want to know that you're still figuring stuff out. You need to perceive in the same way that you do with your customers that you're a valuable choice. Is that true?
Yeah.
Right? So if your customer doesn't get an estimate in a week or they get it on a notepad, they're going to perceive you as what?
Cheap. Cheap. Unprofessional.
So, bro, and if you get an A-plus applicant and he's like, okay, well, how do I get paid? And you say, well, we're still working with a payroll company for the first few weeks. You're going to get I'll write you a check for your hours. Bro, what is that? Can't win that way. So again, the expenses in wartime are going to be cost and your time.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm fine with the expenses. They're, you know, needed to grow. And it's something I struggled with for a long time. And then just this year, I said, screw it. I've been watching you and I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'd rather put it all out there and try to scale this business than be a slave to the brush. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to own a business. And so I understand it takes money to do that. So,
but you need to be hard on yourself and you need to create these things that say, in other words, there's gotta be non-negotiables between George and George, you know what I'm saying? Like you've got to set these deadlines the same way you would set them when you scale your business to your subordinates. You would say, hey, you need to get that ad out today. I'm just treating you like you're a subordinate and I'm the CEO right now at George Company. That's all I'm doing, bro. And I'm saying, hey, the ad needs to be out today. Gusto needs to be set up today. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We need to hire. Our company is failing.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. And until you can have those tough conversations and hold yourself to that, we're not going anywhere, bro. We modeled it. Honestly, if you were really serious, you'd hire two people off the jump. Because you're trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? Now you have these two people. Now you got to work on SOPs and now you got to feel them out. Now you got to work on time frame and deadlines. And now you got to learn how to manage people and deal with things that come up in their life, right? These are things that you don't really have to worry about right now, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's part of it. How do you handle that? How do you handle when you have a deadline and your guy calls out?
Yeah.
What do you do? What is your reaction? Do you freak out on them or do you have poise? These are all things that you can't even enter into this conversation until you get the basics done. And that's why I'm hard on you about this Gusto. It's like, you know where you needed to go. Don't wait for anyone else to tell you what you need to do. You're a business owner.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense, bro. Perfect sense. I think the guy's name's Joel in the Forward Media Marketing.
Good buddy.
Video last week, he was just talking about being proactive. You know, and that hit me pretty hard. I was like, what am I like, that's definitely something that, you know, I'm just missing. And, I think I've just became, paralyzed by like overthinking and fear lately. And it's just kind of, I've just been in a bad headspace, but, obviously no one cares. It's not going to help me grow the business. So that's something I'm working on. And
it's not that no one cares, man. It's that everybody has fear. You're in the top 1%. You quit and you started a business.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a different element. You're on your own. There's no safety net. No one cares.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you have a strong reason for why you did it, what's your reason? What is pulling you toward this adventure? Is it because you want to make a ton of money and rule the world, bro? What is it?
It's a good question. I've thought about that a lot. And, I don't have a perfect answer for. I wouldn't say it's necessarily the money. I mean, that's part of it. I just want to be able to, if I have a family one day, provide well for everybody and, you know, not be poor. So yeah, I'd say
So in 10 years, when you're 34 years old, let's say you have two kids and there's a soccer game or a baseball game or there's something that they need to, they need
go,
to do.
I could go watch it.
And you could go watch it, right? Okay. Yeah. So you're digging your well before you're thirsty. You're planting seeds before the harvest. And the thing is you need to clearly define that because this, it's hard, bro. And until you clearly define that of what it is that you're going for, I'm going to be honest with you. When things do get hard, it won't be as important to you. It really won't. It won't. There's nothing, there's no way it could be because you haven't clearly defined it. It's kind of like, well, I'm doing this business, you know, but you will be, you will be here in 10 years, right? And you may have a family in 10 years. You may have, you know, there's something pulling you. So plant your seeds now, bro. And treat it as if you have the family and that you're working toward it, you know, call that into your life.
Yeah.
And again, the thing is, man, is that you're no different than I was. You and I are a lot alike in terms of the fact that we both started in when I was 23, 24, I was just figuring this stuff out. I will say though, is that I was running every day, running, you know, I didn't have a lot of the resources that are available now. So it was just like, I don't care if I fail. I don't care if I mess up gusto. I don't care if I hire a bad employee. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to make the tough decisions. You're going to have to go through that. So my suggestion to you again, get gusto up, get the Indeed ad out. And if I were you, man, I'm going to give you some accountability. You need to be scheduling some interviews no later than Monday. I mean, you should have at least two or three interviews by Monday. And the process I'm going to go through because it's so important is that you need to take that. You got to go through the Indeed ad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to figure out how to vet people through that ad. And I'm actually going to I'm going to do that in today's training. I'm doing the training today. I'm going to just do that. I was wondering where I was going. So if you want to come to that, we'll talk hiring.
Yeah, I'll be on there.
So we'll cover hiring and I'll just walk you through the whole thing. So, but the thing is that you need to be an astute observer of human behavior, dude. I have almost 30 employees. Okay. I have to know who to look for because we don't have time. Right. We don't have time to work to, but we've learned. You have to learn from this hiring process. You might make mistakes. In my painting business, I've had over 60 painters work for me. Right now I have 14. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, my average isn't very good for hiring. Right. I mean, somebody that's preaching hiring because there's an old saying, it says hiring is guessing and firing is knowing. And you just need to be a really good guesser. And you need to use it's called an educated guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So anything else, man, before we go, I know that there's a lot more elements to business. I got a few more minutes. Sales. Are you struggling with sales? Any issues there?
I'd say I have one question and then maybe get into the sales just real briefly, but I guess just with my situation, right? Cause like we didn't talk too much about that. So I currently have one truck and a trailer.
Okay.
I had a decent amount of cash in the bank, but I had a slow winter, and then I took on a lot of overhead this, you know, February, January. So, not in debt or anything like that, but it's getting tight, and the season's finally breaking.
I'm gonna tell you what's happening. I already know. Okay.
Yeah, the loan, the van, the whole.
Well, it's just not that. It's that you know the fact of the matter is that you're not selling as much as you should be. You're not hustling the sales because you know you can't get to it anyway.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Okay. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I get scared.
If you knew that sales were coming in, you wouldn't even be telling me this. You'd be like, man.
I just went and saw like a 6,000 square foot massive house.
Can't touch it.
And they loved me, you know, and I'm like thinking to myself, like,
if I get this job, I'm screwed.
Like, what do I do? Yeah. Like, and that's why I was saying, okay, do I find a good sub? And,
right. So here's it. I'm going to tell you, don't ever forget this. The most important and I'll be honest, the most powerful force in all of business. I'm going to give you one word is leverage. Leverage. It's there's leverage in anything, right? So let me give you an example. Let's say you went and did that estimate after this call and you're fired up about hiring. You're like, I'm going to find the way or I'm going to make a way. I will have a team of three and I will have them no later then May 1st, I'm going to have three painters working for me full time. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how to get there. So when you go into the sale, you're saying, yes, ma'am, because you have certainty within yourself.
Yeah.
The reason people get depressed is because they lie to themselves. And if you can't hold, if you can't tell the truth to yourself and follow through with your own agreements, then how could you hold them to anyone else? Yeah. Stop lying to yourself. That's the key, is if you tell yourself something, you find a way or make a way. So the thought of it is that you could have sold that job if you had the right mentality in terms of what you're going to make happen in order to get that job done the right way.
Right.
So you use the job as leverage to pull you beyond what's comfortable, because you know, like, if I don't do this, I'm going to let that customer down. So the same thing is when I ask you about your why, the leverage is your future family. That's a strong leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Your future wife. You know, imagine this. Yeah. Imagine your wife hates her job.
Yeah.
And she's miserable and she's taking it out on the kids, or she's just stressed out. Right. And if you built a business that freed her from a job that she doesn't want to do, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a situation that I was in, and I freed my wife from it. Had I not hustled, had I not made the decisions I needed to make, that might not have been a reality. Changing generations. That's why I do these calls, bro.
Yeah. Changing generations. I like that.
Changing generations.
Yep.
So this conversation could be pivotal for you, but it only matters if you take action. And I'm saying this, you missed out on a great opportunity, not because you weren't that guy. They liked you. You won the customer over. But guess what? They started probably to feel your apprehension throughout the walk.
Yeah. Well, I told them, I was like, you know, this is a way bigger project than I've ever taken on. And, you know, it was great rapport. I don't bull crap people or anything. I told them where I was at with it. And, you know, but like you said,
if you had the production.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be a no brainer. Yeah.
Don't let that happen again, George. You need to assume that these opportunities are going to come to you.
Yeah.
You need to call them into your life. Okay. Because not many people in your area are doing this thing that you're doing right now. It's hard. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have the supply, the demand will find you. Build it and they will come.
I like that. Yeah.
If you're known for being able to get it done, they're going to find you because no one else can do it. Everyone else, 90% of your competition is just like what you just said.
Yeah.
They go in, they see these jobs. They either, some of them take them and they're there for a month and they're not making any money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like how you, I've seen some of your videos. You talk about the painting industry and like most people kind of got fired or quit their job or whatever. And then they just became a painter. You know, they weren't really business people first, and a lot of people are just, you know, running the one-man show.
They start painting businesses out of spite.
You know?
Like they're mad at their boss, which is fine. You could push through, you know, you could do that. But, dude, there's this whole world of learning that needs to happen. But I will say that the difference between those that are successful and are not are the ones that take action on the stuff that they don't want to do or don't yield an immediate return. Just go through the process. Go through the motions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in terms of sales, you know, we can't even see what you're capable of yet. We don't even know. Imagine if Drip Job sucked. How would I sell that to you with confidence?
You couldn't.
I couldn't.
No.
So my whole focus as somebody creating a product or offering a solution is this has got to be good because I don't want the pressure of having to work too hard in sales. And it's the same thing I do in my painting business. I don't have to work hard in sales. Early on, I did closing on the spot. And you should learn those tactics and you should have them in your tool belt. But guess what? Brother, we're at a point now, we're just emailing the quotes. If you want to work with this, come on. You already know what's coming. You don't need to think. If premium's on the job, it's going to be done right. And we hold to that standard every single day.
Yeah.
So if the production is good, which that should be your entire focus from here on out, is getting that team solid, the sales will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You already hired a marketing agency, so you shouldn't have to worry about lead flow. But here's the deal. What I think you should be doing, I guarantee, let me ask you this. I have one more question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're using Drip Jobs in your cold leads section of all the leads that have come in. Do you have a bunch of people there? Like a bunch of leads that haven't converted?
Yeah, it's where a lot of them go. Yeah.
Okay. But they're sitting there. You probably have maybe 10 or 15 leads just sitting there, right?
Yeah.
Give or take?
A little less. I just started up a couple weeks ago. And
okay.
Let me ask you this.
I just want to know. Be honest.
Yeah.
How many times have you called those leads?
I've called all of them.
How many times?
Two or three times.
How many times today?
None.
Why? That's the difference, George.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, why didn't you call him today? That should be one of the first things you do in the mornings. Call your leads. Every hour you wait diminishes the chance of them moving forward with you. You have to understand what you're selling. You're selling an emotional experience. So when the ad popped up, they got emotional.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then life happened. And then they started thinking. And then they started saying, man, I'm not paying $5,000 for a paint job. It'll, you know, the damn house can fall apart. I don't care. I didn't go on a cruise in 3 years. I'd rather go on a cruise.
Right.
You got to fight, bro. This is a fight. And it's the same thing with the people that you sent proposals to. How many people are in proposals sent right now?
Quite a few.
Okay. How many times have you called them? Be honest.
Barely any. The ones I really wanted, you know, barely a couple times. And then the others,
you know why? Okay. Because you got no leverage. That's what we talked about. You got to have the leverage. You know what the leverage is on the flip side? Are those three people you hire because they need work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You just said it too, because that seriously is what's been happening. Is like, I'll be like really picky with the job, and it's because it's all about me, because I know I'm the only one that's going to be painting it. And so I have like this piss poor mindset when I'm picking jobs. And it's terrible. Like, what can I do? What do I want to do?
It's self-inflicting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
it's self-inflicting. So, and until you go into war with yourself, wartime, hire three, sell jobs that right now you can't handle, but that's going to create the leverage that you need to get your team right.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. It's a mentality. It's like rocket fuel, man. 90% of that rocket fuel is used on the launch. 10% of it is used in orbit.
Yeah.
I'm in orbit right now. I don't have to go through hell again. I already been through there.
Yeah.
If I want to add another crew, it's wartime. I just went through it. It's wartime. Got to get more leads. Got to get another van. Got to spend all this money. Got to buy brand new sprayers. Got to get them up and running. But I know a brand new crew is going to generate X amount of money. So this is easy work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
All right, brother. Man, I'm going to see you in a few minutes anyway. So let me go get some water.
Okay. All right.
Is this helpful, bro?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I definitely needed it.
Good. Yeah. Man. Good luck. You got this.
Yeah. Thanks, Tanner.
All right, homie.
Bye.